server, risen savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living forever in my stay. I see the hand of mercy there, the very fear. Thanks, and I might need him. He's always there. He lives, he lives. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. No life's barrel away. He lives, he lives. Taxation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And now my heart is weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. And they that need their rents like them at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. And hope of all who seek him, the help who all who find. And others is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Good evening. Glad to see each one that come out to be with us tonight. Once again, I appreciate our visitors that were here last night, and some of them back again tonight, and appreciate the visitors that have come tonight. It'll be your first time that Brother Miller's already mentioned that we'd love to have you to join us meeting tonight and worship and serve the Lord with us. Let the Lord use you. I hope you feel at home here tonight. And I just thank the Lord for the blessed day that he gave us. Thank him for the opportunity that lost friend that once again he has showed his mercy upon you, that he's allowed you to be able to come back another time. Guess you think I'm crazy, don't you? Got to wondering what in the world was that preacher doing. Got up here and said a few things, and he turned around and he sat down. I want to tell you something, people. You that are lost, there's a day coming when the preacher's mouth is going to be shut. It is. The preacher's mouth is going to be shut. And I sit down for a moment to maybe to get your minds stirred up a little bit, to get you thinking about it a little bit. What would it really be like now if the Lord decided to shut the preacher's mouth up? That you didn't have nobody to bring the gospel to you. That you didn't have nobody to tell you the truth. That'd be bad. That would. But I think as long as we're allowed to breathe, I believe the Lord is still going to keep on calling preachers. That he's going to continue to have them to preach his word. But one day, the preacher's mouth is going to be shut. And there won't be no more preaching. My reading lesson, I'm going to start out in the 6th chapter of Revelations, beginning at the 13th verse. And this was after the sixth seal had been opened. And I understand and know that Revelations is deep, and there's a lot of it that I'll have to admit to you that I don't understand. But these scriptures that I'm about to read, I believe most of us here tonight can understand what's being said. Even you that are lost, I believe you can understand what these words that are written, what they mean. 13th verse, it says, "And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken by the mighty wind." It says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together." It says, "And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty man, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens," which they hid themselves in the caves, "and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." Hide us. When John wrote these words down, the things that he was showed, that was shown to him, it says the stars was falling from the heavens. And I thought about that as I was reading it and as I was meditating up on it. And you can go online and you can hear the news so often and so many times that they talk about there's going to be a meteor shower. And there's so often that we have a desire to go out, and sometimes we've even stayed up in the late hours to go out and watch the meteors shooting through the sky. We think it's a beautiful sight. And it is, and I know that when John penned these things down and when God had showed him things, there's a lot of things that he didn't really understand how to really describe it. But he described it about the things that he knew. You know, he didn't really understand what the meteors were, but even then that maybe when he talked about the stars falling from the sky, maybe it was meteorites. Maybe the stars are going to fall from the sky. That's what he wrote. But what I want you to think about is when we go out and we look at these meteor showers and things going on, you know, when I go out and I look at them, you know what I think about? I think about the end of time. I think about when Jesus, our Lord and Savior. What John called him? John called him the Lamb. He called him the Lamb of God. What John the Baptist called him? John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God. Why was he called that? Why did he have that name? Because he could become that supreme, perfect, the one without blemish, the one without spot, the perfect sacrifice. Amen. Because years ago, before Jesus ever come on the scene, you know, they sacrificed lambs. But Jesus was the only sacrifice. Through the blood that was shed by him, he's the only way that sin can ever really be taken away. His blood that was shed at Calvary was the true blood. The life that he gave, it was the sacrifice that he made that we have a way back to God. Amen. That we might have fellowship with God. That we may feel the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts. You know, there was a time that they wasn't able to feel that Spirit like we feel it today. I preached last night about how the Spirit came down in Pentecost. It talked about the man running to the mountains, running to the caves, trying to hide themselves from the wrath of God. God's word tells us that when the end of time comes, that fire and brimstone is going to fall from the sky. And I tell you what, it talked about these men running and hide and let the mountains, the rocks fall upon us. What's the old saying? I've heard it all my life pretty much. But I think it really, really applies to the word of God. You can run, but you cannot hide. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from Jesus. See, he knows everything. He knows it all. I've looked around and there are you that are here tonight that I know because of your actions that you're still lost and separated from God. At least that's what we go on by your actions until you tell us different. Until you stand and testify and tell us that God has saved your soul without a shadow of a doubt, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven is going to be your home. We ain't heard that from you. When that time comes, you're going to be like these men was. And the man that were listed was mighty man. It said the rich man and even the leaders of armies, chief captains. Strong man, mighty man, but you know, even the slaves, even the free man. But they had such a fear that they wanted to run and hide. You know why? Because they put salvation off too long. They put it off too long. You know, I talked about last night of Jesus walking among man after he was resurrected, after he was crucified, and after he was resurrected, and how he ascended up to heaven. Well, in the 11th verse of the first chapter of Acts, it says, which also, now this one, Jesus ascended up into heaven. He said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. People, he's coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, coming back to get his people. not those that are running and hiding, but those that's been covered by that blood. I want to read some more scripture here. It's in the 17th chapter of Luke. Verse 23 is where I will start. It says, "And they shall say to you, see here or see there." And this is Jesus speaking. This is what Luke recorded. And this is the words that Jesus spoke with his own mouth. It says, "For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." Don't think somebody's going to come and say, "Hey, I've seen Jesus. Come with me. Follow me. I saw Jesus." When we look out and we see the lightning, everybody witnesses that lightning. And what Jesus was trying to make a point here, when he comes, everybody's going to see him. Not one or two people going to say, "Hey, come follow me. I see Jesus." When he opens that sky, when he descends from heaven, when he comes back, all eyes will witness him and see him. Those that are saved, those that are lost. Everyone will witness and see them with his own eyes. Don't have to worry about no man or anybody coming to tell you to come see. You're going to see him. You're going to see him. It says, "But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." Is he not being rejected today? He's still saving souls. People are still getting saved, thanks be to God. We have one that's just stood here a couple of weeks ago and told about the Lord saving her. We just heard about the young man getting saved up in Washington, D.C. You see, he's still saving souls. He still has that power. He's still able to do it, and he still will do it as long as he allows us to continue to live. But when we think, and I hear people talking about the revivals of old time, that how God's power and how God's Spirit moved among them, and talked about how many got saved, that they said, "You know, we don't see that today. We don't see the people getting saved like they used to." And you know what the sad thing is? We're more populated today than we were back then. We're growing. The world's growing, but you know what else is growing? Hell. Hell's enlarging herself. Why? Because people's rejecting the Word of God. Because people are rejecting the Son of God. And hell is enlarging herself. And that's sad. It's sad because you know what? God is still calling preachers to preach the word. But yet the world seems like they don't want to hear it. And it's not the preachers that God's calling that they're rejecting. You're rejecting him. You're rejecting Jesus, God's only begotten Son, the one that loved us so, the one that gave his life. It says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." The days of Noah. Everybody's read and heard that preached about, taught about in your Sunday school classes. I don't think there's a one sitting here that ain't heard the story about Noah. But it ain't just a story that's made up. It's truth. It's truth. It's the Word of God. It really happened, Brother Paul. It really happened. Not made up by a man. It's the Word of God. It really happened. It says they did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. The Word of God teaches us and tells us in the day of Noah that that man was a preacher of righteousness. Oh yeah, he had the talent and given the talent to build that ark. He was able to take the instructions that God gave him and able to take with his hands and use his mind and his sons to be able to build the ark the way God instructed him to build it. God gave him that talent to be able to do that. But while he was doing that, he was warning the people that the earth was going to be destroyed, that it was going to rain. They rejected it. They didn't want to believe it. They refused to believe it. And that's what goes on here. You know, it says that they was drunk and they married wives and they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. When the days of Noah came, when the great rains came, when the flood came, it destroyed everybody but Noah's family. The earth was very populated during that time. But only 8 souls were saved. Only 8. And you think about the population that was up on the earth at that time. I don't know what the number was, but I'm sure it was many. But 8 out of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. 8's not much, that's just a little speck. Think about those that rejected God. Not only did they die from the flood, but I believe they ended up in hell. Not just because that they didn't get prepared because the rains were coming. It's because they didn't get their heart right with God. That was the problem with them, that they didn't get their heart right with God. It says, but the same day that the Lord, that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Everybody in those cities was destroyed. Fire and brimstone. It's my understanding that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. The world as you know it, this earth as you know it, is going to be destroyed. Fire and brimstone is going to rain upon it. Do you know what brimstone is? I figured I knew what it was, but I even took time to look it up today. You know, I thought I've said that many times and read it many times, but I've never really looked to see what the definition is. Do y'all know what it is? I'm sure a lot of you do. It's fiery stone. That's what brimstone is. It's fiery stone. So back in Revelations, I read about the wrath of God. Here we talk about, Jesus talking about fire and brimstone. Something to think about, people. That day's a coming. I'm giving you a warning. I'm trying to get you to open up your hearts and your minds to think about this. The day is coming. And there's something I want you to think about too when I wanted to make mention of this just a little bit earlier. You that are lost, when I make mention about the end of time, when Jesus comes back, I want you to also think about the end of time that you take your last breath. Because either way, whether you die and you take your last breath, or Jesus opens the sky and he comes back and descends from heaven, the shape, the way that your soul is in at that time, either way, whatever happens, if you die without Jesus, hell's going to be your home. That's it. Hell is going to be your home. Its body lays down and it takes its last breath. Or Jesus comes back. Either way, you've waited too long to get right with God. You've waited too long. When you see Jesus coming back, it's too late. He's given you the opportunity once again. I made mention tonight that once again he has showed his mercy, that he's allowed you one more time to come inside of this church building and to hear the gospel one more time. And I know that I don't present the gospel like other preachers do. God calls different men and God's man presents it in different ways. I feel mostly like Moses does, and a lot of times that I'm not a man of fancy speech or good speech. But you know what? I'm still trying to warn you the best way that I can. The best way I know how. That Jesus is coming back. There's a day coming that time will be no more as we know it. You need to get right with God.
Amen.
You need to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to put your trust in the one that died at the cross at Calvary. So it says, after we read here about the brimstone from heaven, that rained up on Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Is that what I just got through telling you? When he come back, fire and brimstone going to rain upon the earth. It says, in that day in which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away, that he is in the field. Let him likewise not return back. So remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed, and the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and I take that they'll be grinding, making meal, taking the wheat and grinding it, making meal, making flour. It says two women shall be grinding together. Looking at them, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in their souls. I'm sure their outward appearance looks different. But these two women that's grinding at the mill, you couldn't look into their hearts and tell who was saved or who wasn't saved. But God knows. God knows. We talked about the Lamb a while ago, talk about Jesus being called the Lamb. God knows everything. Jesus knows everything. He's part of the Godhead along with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. They know everything. But you know what? It also tells me in Revelations that there's a book kept. Yeah. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And every name that is recorded in that book has been saved by the grace of God. There's a record of it. I ask you, I ask every one of you, is your name recorded in it? Is your name in it? If it ain't, Lord help you. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Says, I tell you, in that night there should be two men in one bed. I read that. Two women should be grinding together. I read that. And then it also goes on to say two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Jesus was trying to explain to them then that no matter what you're doing or what's going on, when it's time for the Lord to come back, He's coming back. Whatever you might be doing, whether you might be in the bed sleeping, whether you might be working, whether you might be playing, whether you might be in school, when that time comes, which no man knows, Jesus is coming back, and if you ain't got right with God, it's going to be too late. I beg you, and I plead to you, you children, there may be adults out here, but you children, and you children, I say children, I'm talking about you that've reached teenagers, that are teenagers. What do you see up here right now? You see a short, fat, gray-bearded, bald-headed man, don't you? That's what you see. But let me tell you a little bit about my youth. There's so much going on in the world today, and things even went on in my day. There are so many of you that your lives are involved in so many things, that you get caught up in so many things, and they ain't necessarily bad. I've told some of you before, it's hard to believe when you look at me, but one day in my youth, I was actually an athlete. Hard to believe it today. And I loved it. I loved playing baseball. I loved playing football. And I wasn't a bad athlete either. I've got, you know, I'm not very tall. I guess you can see that. But you know what? I didn't ever let that stop me. When I played, whether it was baseball, football, I played with my heart. I played as hard as I could play. The bigger they were, the harder I'd hit them, the harder I'd play. And you know, I've got trophies. Some of them are this tall, some of them are this tall. Trophies that I won because of playing sports, playing ball. And I'm not here to brag, but I want to tell you that I've been where you're at or where you're headed. A lot of it I didn't ever really understand because you see, I say the expression that I was born on the other side of the railroad tracks. I guess years ago, they may still call it, I don't know, but you had the high class, the middle class, and the low class of people. Well, really, I was the low class of people. My family was poor. My dad was a drunkard. But even with that, I got things, I got awarded things that just didn't ever really make sense to me. I was Mr. Portland High. I was voted class, and I'm not bragging here, but I just want you to listen a minute. I was Mr. Portland High. I was president of the senior class. I was voted class favorite for 3 years straight. I was football captain. I was voted best personality. And there's all the things that went on. Junior high, I was football captain. High school, I was football captain.
I was able to go to banquets. You know, I was talking about the trophies and stuff that I won, that I was able to go to banquets and do things. I even went to a banquet that was put on the Tennessean, the big paper in Tennessee, that I was invited to go to a banquet. I was able to be at a banquet where some of the top football players were at. The SEC, the Southeastern Conference Player of the Year was there. The SEC coach of the year was there. If you played football and played sports, these were big people, important people when it comes to athletics. Nashville's TV stations, all these big sportscasters that I'd sit and watch on TV, on the sports channels, they were there. We had a guest speaker. Some of you young people might not know who he is, but most of you older people my age and a little bit younger know who he is. We had a guest speaker, Jerry Clower. I mean, this is the type of the banquet that I was fortunate enough to go to because of playing football, being involved with sports. And just to say that Jerry Clower was the guest speaker, of course, he had everybody rolling, but I think they ended up giving him about $1,500. And he donated that money. He's supposed to be a Christian. My understanding, he always professed that he was a saved man, that the money that he was given to be the guest speaker that night, that he donated it to buy Bibles. But the point that I'm making is I know where you've at and I know what you're into. But what I want you to think about, what I want you to do, look at me. Look at me now. What do you see? You see the same person that I was a while ago on the outward. But there's something I didn't mention a while ago. What you see is a sinner saved by grace. That's what you're looking at. And the point that I'm trying to make, and the reason I told you, is that I know that so many of you are involved in so many things. Of course, soccer and different things is big today. That they're involved in the softball. And you know what? I was even in the senior play. Thank goodness it wasn't a musical. We didn't sing back in, we tried to act. But I was even in the play. Play was over. Of all people, the president's kids come up to me and wanted my autograph. But people, these things ain't bad. But if you put it before the Lord, it ain't good. If you put it before the Lord, it ain't good. Because if you get caught up into these things and you get involved into these things so much that eventually, if the Lord had been dealing with you, you get caught up and eventually your heart becomes hardened. It becomes calloused to the point that you probably just don't really listen to the Word of God anymore because the devil's got your mind focused somewhere else. I told you. I have trophies. They're in my attic. There was a time I was proud of them, and they sat out on the tables and in my bedrooms and in the living rooms. I have clippings and article of papers that my name, that things were wrote about me, pictures of me. But I want to go back to a verse right here, the 31st verse that I read to you. It says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, listen, and his stuff in the house. His stuff. all this stuff that we gain right now, all these things that we accomplish and all these things that we do, what it boils down to is just stuff. That's all it is. It's just stuff. Things that you think are so important right now to you, as time goes by, it passes. And it's just stuff. Are you going to let stuff stand in your way to ever becoming the knowing, the true and loving God that He is? Because you're letting the world get in your way? But you're letting sports get in your way? And like I said, it ain't bad unless you let it get in the way of the Lord. Sports, those in athletics, some people have been able to go to college and get degrees and get an education that otherwise they wouldn't have been able to afford. You see, it's not really bad. I love doing it, and I'm sure you love doing it, but put the Lord first. When the Lord saved me, you know, when there's scripture that talks about giving up your mother and your father. That's where your heart's got to get to. If you truly and really want to be saved, even though how much you love your parents or your grandparents or your wives or your husbands, no matter how much you love them, you need to love God more. You've got to be able to turn over them. But you know what? I got to that place that I was willing to give Gail up, that I was willing to give Dustin up, that the Lord helped me finally get to that place where I realized that there was nothing else I could do, there's nothing else I could hold on to, there was no promises, there wasn't nothing that I could do but let the Lord have me. And I've mentioned this many times, the song that we sing, I surrender all. In my heart, the day that I turned it over to the Lord, I let Him have it. I surrendered all. I cried out to Him, Lord. That's all. I cried out, Lord. But it wasn't that words that I spoke. It was my heart that trusted in Him. And when I got to that place, He saved my soul. Every one of us that's been saved by the grace of God, it wasn't the words that we spoke. It wasn't the promises that we made. Every one of us know for a fact and feel in our heart that it was our heart that He looked at, that when we turn it over to Him, that He saved us. Repentance, faith, is what I preached last night. That ain't changed. It ain't changed. Still the same thing. Repentance and faith. You that are lost, it's not worth hanging on to. Whatever it is that's standing in your way, whatever it is that you've held on to that ain't been able to get to that place that you need to get to, it's stuff. You know what? Life is short. It is. Life is short. And you know what? Can't take it with you. And it's all going to burn up. Your soul is what's important. Now you go put your faith and trust in the Lord. Are you going to seek after Him till you find Him? Where you really and truly know who He is and that you feel Him? And He let you know that heaven's going to be your home.
or you go die and run to the caves and run to the mountains and want the rocks to fall upon you, hiding from his wrath. I done told you, you can run, but you cannot hide. You can run from us. You can lie to us. You can lie to your parents. You can lie to one another, but you cannot lie to God, because he knows.
Amen.
He knows. God, help you is my prayer, that you would get things worked out with the Lord and hoping tonight to be your night. Because who knows? Tomorrow you might be running for the caves and the mountains, hiding from the wrath of God. Could happen. Or you could just quit breathing and fall to the floor and die without warning. The situation that your soul is, if that happens, it's unchanging. You die without God, you'll never have the opportunity again. I said earlier, the preacher's mouth will be shut. In time, our mouths are going to be shut. God's word is not going to need preached anymore. That day's a-coming. I think we sang a song sometimes. I forget how it goes. It's a great day. A great day's a-coming. Well, that's true. That's true. A great day's coming. For God's people, those that have been saved by the grace of God, those that have been covered by the blood of Jesus, but you that without God, without Jesus, it's going to be a sad day, and it's going to be a terrible day. And I tell you what, when you fall in the deep pits of hell, your pain and suffering will never end. I'm looking for that great day. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. But I tell you what, if you hadn't been saved by the grace of God, you better be worried about it.
Amen.
Let's have a song. Brother Milton.